Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Jaron Miller, and welcome to the Classic Series Redrive. Check them up. Let's get started. Hey guys, thanks for stopping by. I am your host, Jaron Miller, and thank you for checking out the Classic Series Redrive. We are so excited about this new podcast. We are here in Waterloo, Indiana at the Reinhold Tack and Western Wear Studio and World Headquarters, of course, here with Logan Reinhold. He's the brains of this operation. He's doing all the behind-the-scenes work, sitting here with the computers and the equipment, so he's a lot smarter than I am. He knows what he's doing. Also sitting here with us, blessed to have his presence. He is a former Westview 8th grade athlete, hitch driver, and most importantly, a husband and a father to the coolest coming 2-year-old little boy, Mark Allen Hostetler. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, how are you? Good to be here.
That's a strong start. Also, Mark, you're part of the marketing committee, also a treasure of the North American Classic Series, Six Horse Hitch. Also joining us this evening from his home up there in cool, comfortable Eastern Ontario. Also a business owner, farmer, hitch driver, hitch owner, husband, and father, Mr. Kevin Wilson. How are you today?
Hey, Jaron. Good. How are you doing, buddy?
Doing real well.
Good to hear from you.
Good, good to have you along. The next intro is going to be a lot shorter, if you get
literally.
Joining us from Idaho, also hitch driver, he's a husband, he's a father, your former president of the North American Classic Series, Six Horse Hitch, Forsyth. How you doing?
Happy to be with you guys.
We have a great lineup of guests here this evening, and a lot of things to talk about. The future, we're going to talk about the coming year. How the hitch were, how the hitch series looks in the next year, the shows, the sales, and COVID, and all that good stuff. Also, Executive Secretary joining us from Colorado, her home in Colorado, Abby Powell. Thank you for being here with us.
Thanks, Jaron.
And the newly elected president, El Presidente, Kelly Gardner. So good to have you here.
Thanks, Jaron. Hi, guys.
Do we do a round of applause for Kelly?
Absolutely. We would like to thank Shipshawana Harness and Supply in Shipshawana, Indiana, Mr. Bob Schrock. If you're looking for products for the show ring or at the farm from A to Z, anything you need, horse nutrition, tack, you name it, make sure you check them out, ShipshawanaHarness.com, follow them on Facebook, or visit their shop in beautiful Shipshawana Amish country, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. till 4 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. till 12 noon. Call Mr. Bob Schrock, 260-768-7254 for all your draft horse needs.
Hey, good to be here, guys. I'm looking forward to this. Just a little bit. Kyle brought this up before about the podcast idea before he got kicked off the board, or his term actually was up, so he left the board. But
was it an impeachment?
No, okay. Let's not go down that road. Okay. But anyway.
Wait a minute. Does that make me Joe Biden?
So we came up with this, and we just decided to keep him on the marketing committee. And I think we're going to be leaning that way a little bit more so with the membership as far as subcommittees and stuff, maybe get a little bit more membership involved on committees as well. So that's what we got going on. I can't wait. I think everybody's on board with this, and it's going to be a good deal.
Kyle, what you have in mind at the future for the Classic Six and this podcast here?
Well, to be honest with you, I spend a lot of time forking turds and driving horses, and it's can be pretty boring if you don't have something on the go. So I listen to a lot of podcasts, and you know, Gerald and them guys, they had a podcast there for quite a while, and it was really good. It was great. You know, they get busy with life and stuff, and their podcast hasn't been getting released quite as frequently. And I get sick of listening to the same podcast over and over. And I thought, you know what, that'd be a great idea to have a Six Horse Hitch Classic Series style podcast, where we can talk about what's going on in the industry. You can bring on guests, update people on what's going on with the Classic Series, with the organization, all those things. Just basically gets information out to the membership. And also, you know, one of the big goals for the Classic Series has been to grow. And with growth is it comes promotion. And what a better way to promote and grow our fan base and get things going than having something like this. It's a real reasonable way. So I phoned Mark, mentioned the idea to him, and he was like, yeah, that's a great idea. I think Kevin put it best when he said that Jaron Miller's voice can part somebody's hair with his tongue his or something tongue. Like well, that.
When you
that
first,
how do you word that, Kevin? Step no, we in. Don't, we don't need to tell me it, how you worded that.
We don't need to go down that road. But when you first messaged me about this, I thought you were joking, and literally like 2 days later, here we are. So
I mean, Jaron's got a great voice, good leader on something like this. We talked a little bit about who would be the best man to do the editing. I think everybody sees a lot of Logan's work around and I mean, just does a fantastic job. So unbelievable how fast this came together. Great group of people. And I'm really excited about the possibilities that this can do.
No, absolutely. I think I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to sitting down with so many different, you know, ambassadors and past horsemen, or not past horsemen, but you know, just all kinds of people that we have some great ideas. I know you as a marketing committee and everybody has some really great ideas. We are going to take the show on the road here in a couple of weeks. We're going to head down to Florida with all our equipment, and we're hoping to sit down with a bunch of people and go from there. We would like to thank Topeka Livestock Auction, the Topeka Draft Horse Sale. If you're looking to buy or sell high-quality hitch horses, pulling horses, farm teams, parade horses, you name it, make sure you check out the Topeka Draft Horse Sale. They sold over 2,000 draft horses in 2020. Rick and Andrea Welsh are the owners. Great people to deal with. Make sure you follow them on Facebook, Topeka Livestock Auction, or their website, topekalivestock.com. The first sale is going to be a spring sale, March 15th through the 19th. Seymour sale, June 3rd through the 5th. And their fall sale is going to be October 25th through the 29th. If you have horses to sell, make sure you get them in the catalog. The spring sale deadline is February 1st. Topeka Draft Horse Auction is where the action is. Kelly Gardner, new president. How's it going with you tonight?
It's going great, Jaron. Thanks for, you know, signing up to do this. Appreciate Kyle's, you know, his thinking of even doing this. This is a great idea.
Absolutely.
Super excited from the board perspective. It's a way to reach out to everybody, all the members. And, you know, it's an easy way to touch base and appreciate your time, appreciate Kyle thinking about it. And 2021, it's exciting. I am honestly thrilled to be the president. I've got some big shoes to fill with Kyle leaving. Hopefully I can do that. I'm excited about it. Wanted to kind of take a minute and welcome Kevin, of course, to the board. I'm excited to have him here. He's got great ideas. He's been a great asset so far. Also want to take just a minute to thank Kyle. His dedication, his leadership that he's shown to the Classic Series, that, you know, his 6 years on the board has been phenomenal. And appreciate everything that he's done. We're excited from a board perspective and just a membership perspective. We're entering our second year of kind of not just the youth cart, but we have the youth cart. We've got the scholarship fund. The shows have really kind of stepped up and, you know, raised a lot of money to help the scholarship fund. It's a good thing. It just super excited about that. We've got, of course, the last year we changed the CART finals to a regional CART finals. I think it was a great move on our part. It gets more people involved. We've got lots of people that ask questions about the CART. Getting more people involved. There's lots of members that look at shows to make sure, you know, to see if there's a classic card, you know, class that they can enter. That's a good thing. It's kind of, you know, meeting the goals, I think, that the former board had in mind when they established the classic cart. Of course, you know, the finals. The finals are just, they are, how do I express this? It's kind of, the bar has been raised. We all have a great time. Laura and Josh do a phenomenal job. Can't thank them enough for all of that. Just a little bit of kind of some, you know, updates for the members. And we've got two proposals, one from Josh Minshall. We've got one from Emily Erie. They're still out there. We've kind of, from a board, I think, decided they're kind of tabled as of right now until we can all meet face to face. We're anticipating doing that in February. Talking more about that. We've had a request come in from the New York State Fair. We submitted a suggestion to the New York State Fair on who might replace Naomi Blumenthal. She, of course, lost her battle with cancer, unfortunately. And we reached out to the members because the other thing that we were doing from a board perspective is putting a letter together. They want to rename a building on her behalf. And from a board perspective and a classic series perspective, we are showing our support for Naomi. And that letter will be submitted here shortly. The other thing, of course, is the podcast. Super excited about this. Think it's a tremendous way and would encourage folks, if you've got topics, you know, suggestions, reach out to the board, Jaren, Mark.
I'll jump in here, Kelly. Well,
thank you.
They'll reach out to the email to send it to is podcast@naclassicseries.com. So you can just email podcast@naclassicseries and give us all of your ideas.
I'd like to add to that, if you give us a 5-star review on the podcast, wherever you get it, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever, you're more likely going to get your question answered.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Thanks, Kyle.
And would you also like to, the mailbag is sponsored by Logan Reinhold, Reinhold's Tack and Western Wear. So, but Kelly, no, thank you very much. You know, I do agree with you. I think the classic series most certainly is going up and forward, and I can't think of anybody better fit for the job than you going forward. So congratulations as new president. I know you're going to do a great job, and I'm looking forward to this next year. If you're looking for high-quality, custom patent leather show harness, look no further than Shanahan Harness, located in Huntsville, Ohio, with over 50 years of harness-making experience. Call Dan Shanahan, 937-686-5202. Once again, Shanahan Harness, 937-686-5202, or visit them online at shanahanharness.com. Also, Kevin, newly elected to the board. Let's talk about COVID a little bit, maybe, and how that's affected this past year. I know, like we've said many a times, a lot of people stepped up. We had some really great shows down here in the States. You, not so fortunate in Ontario. So how does the future look up there? I mean, maybe going forward here in 2021?
I think everybody's cautiously optimistic. Not a lot of people have made plans yet as what's going to happen to this summer. Right now, things are supposed to be status quo again, things moving ahead that the way they were typically go. Unfortunately, though, since right after Christmas, we've entered our second lockdown in Ontario and in Quebec, which has put a lot of restrictions on going outside. Kids are not back to school yet. So I'd say we're actually in the heat of it again. And going forward, if we see that the numbers don't flatten out, I would look to see a lot of public events get postponed or canceled again, unfortunately. But with that, I'd say we are right in the worst part of it right now. People are unsure what to believe. You can't really look to the media to or social media to give you an accurate depiction of what is going on. So people are kind of staying in their bubble. A lot of our fellow exhibitors up here, we've had some conversations moving forward about maybe potentially putting on our own shows this summer. Unfortunately, last year we had discussions over that, but our health units, local community health units, can put the veto to any of those public gatherings. So it's kind of a trying time right now. And I think that is kind of the one thing that I really look forward to this podcast, uniting people that generally had see each other a couple times a year that probably haven't seen each other in a long time. So it's a way for people to keep an eye on what's happening and what's going on with the Classic Series and other exhibitors and other shows across the country. You know, we're all in this fight together, and it kind of, it's not real fun when you have these horses and you just don't got a place to go to with them. But I mean, it's just one thing. I think we'll persevere. It's just going to take a little bit of time, and hopefully some, I think when they announced that they were getting a vaccine, I think our prime minister thought they were selling magazines and he didn't order enough. So from what we got told is we don't have any vaccine coming here for a couple of weeks, and everybody around the world is getting it. So it's hopefully that vaccine gets us back to normal sooner than later.
Yeah, I hope the best
for you horse owners up there. And I know we certainly missed our friends from the north down here this year, and we of course missed going up to the Royal and all this and that. So I hope at least the border opens up soon. Maybe that would be a big step.
Yeah, we do a lot of cross border business, and it unless you're crossing on a commercial entry, we've had several other clients that go down to just, you know, social events, auctions, visit family, whatever, that actually got turned away. So the commercial side of it is still open, and you're still able to travel without any restriction. But they start to ask a lot of questions. So hopefully that gets lifted sooner than later.
Kind of changing the subject off of horses, but I heard, are you on a lockdown after a certain time in the evenings, or you can't leave your house or something? Is that true?
Yeah, Quebec, province to the east of us here, about 6 miles, after 8 o'clock, it's a $6,000 fine if you get caught out, if you're not on coming from work or going to work or walking your dog. Those are the exemptions. So our company has four employees that live in Quebec that work for us, and I have to actually write them permission slips to come to work. And we've had two of them have been pulled over by the cops and questioned to what they're doing. And they whip out this handy letter and my signature's on it. And that gives them a permission slip to be out after dark or before curfew starts. So, there's a lot of misinformation out there about how bad this disease is. And I think the Quebec government really cracked down, hoping an overreaction is the best reaction, to try to flatten the curve, because the numbers were going to 2,000 to 3,000 cases a day. So it was a defense mechanism, I guess. And I guess we're starting to see the cases lower. So, I mean, it's working. It's an unfortunate event for a short time, hopefully.
Yeah. Wasn't there one lady in Quebec that got arrested or got charged because she was walking her husband on a leash that night?
I saw that too. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, I'd definitely get me a couple dogs, but it's kind of cold to walk dogs in the winter.
She put a leash on them. So I put a post on social media. We do a bunch of business over there with a bunch of farmers. And I said, if anybody wants to rent a pet, I've got a few at affordable rates for afternoon walks past 8 p.m. Give me a call. So it was, yeah, it's definitely unique over there. There's no doubt about it. We containerized beans at the Port of Montreal, and I mean, it's been busy as ever. They took the weight restrictions off the road last year. We're hoping that does again. So, I mean, it's the businesses are on the most part still going. I mean, the restaurants and stuff are restricted, but the social activity, like there's videos all over social media, them busting down the doors and pulling people out of houses. And it's sad, but it is happening. Yeah. So we don't need to do that.
It's the world we live in right now. Yeah. Crazy times. COVID sucks. That's all I can say.
We would also like to thank Penwoods Pertruns, specializing in ship-chilled semen. Once again, with a powerful stallion lineup here in 2021. If you have some mares at home that need bred, make sure you check them out. They have the Tripcrest Ladies Man Horse, Bellevue Crown Royal, Thunderhill Crosby, Recount, list goes on and on. Check them out on Facebook, or you can call them 814-364-9917 or 814-364-2183. Chad and Ron Nicole, Penwoods Pertruns. Mark, I know you talked to a couple people with horse sales coming up. I know, like, Harrisburg, they canceled, or they didn't cancel, they postponed to, like, May, I believe.
Yeah, back to May.
So there really hasn't been any draft horse events down here in January so far, but February, I believe, Gordyville would be the first event to happen. Did you talk to Vernon? Or
yeah, I talked with Vernon for a while, and he says the guys there that own the facility did it the right way. They canceled, like tractor pulls and stuff like that. That wasn't essential. So therefore the local health board has been letting them go with auctions and that stuff. So they haven't been really pushing it that much as far as the non-essential stuff. So that they're in great shape. I mean, they moved a standard bred auction from Cloverdale, Indiana out to Gordyville for, I think it's this weekend.
I believe
it's coming up soon. Yep, he was saying, and they've been, as far as auctions and stuff, they've been going right along, and he's pretty confident that, you know, it's a go and it won't be an issue at all.
I believe so. Topeka too is all
for. Hey Mark, they have to make like big changes, you know, in order to have the horse sales, do you know? Or
he didn't make it sound like they did. Now I know the MAC, they had to make some changes. I saw where they got shut down, and actually Dwayne Chupp called me one day and we were talking, and I asked him about it, and he said what was wrote in the newspaper was not true, like the press release was not totally opposite of what happened.
Because there was the press said that they got shut down, right?
Yeah,
they're like completely shut down.
They did get shut down.
Okay.
But it wasn't what the press said, that they ignored their phone calls. The CEO, Dennis Fry, had asked for their help as well. Well, he said, I can enforce people to wear masks, but as soon as they're through the door, they don't have them on. So he goes, I want a cop car and a health department vehicle sitting at the front door, then maybe they'll listen. Well, they never showed up.
Yeah, help. I heard he didn't get any support
from the local
law enforcement. Because they can't enforce it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So then they came and threw a fit and shut him down because he wasn't doing his job, and I guess they had a meeting and they're open and they're going again. So they're all good there.
And thankfully, Florida would be the next show, or the first show here, 1st of February. Florida seems to be very much open. I think they might be one of the states that are pretty much full force. I mean, you see, I know the PBR, the Bull Ridings, they just had an event down there last weekend. So it looks promising to be able to show horses here in a couple of weeks and then going from there to Georgia. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, Kelly, I mean, obviously you're on Chip's crew. Like, what's the story on Georgia? There's no concerns there? Or?
Haven't heard of any, no. It's, you know, it's just, we were there in October, no masks. And, you know, I don't know that you can necessarily, the unfortunate part is necessarily advertise it, right? To get a bunch of, you know, spectators in. But I'm not aware of any restrictions from the facility. They've got it potentially a little bit, I don't know if it's going to be spaced out but I don't know that you could necessarily advertise it, unfortunately. But it's still a venue that we're able to go to, use, have a show. When we were there in October, Mark, it was, they had some 4-H going on. They had sheep showing and some cattle and,
it was a full out state fair. Showing wise,
yeah, it was with livestock. It was busy.
Yeah, it was real busy.
I believe there's a hog show going on there this weekend, I think. Yeah.
Yep. And I know because we had asked to lay over there on the way down to Florida, and they have a huge barrel show that weekend. Like all the stalls are filled in that big barn, so we couldn't lay over there. So I know the weekend, like that weekend, is obviously they're good to go there with a big barrel show. So that's good.
I know this past year was a little rough for members, but I'm sure you as a committee would like to thank the members for hanging in there. And I know it probably hurt revenue. I don't know if you want to talk about that, Mark or Abby, but I'm sure it hurt the membership revenue a little bit.
I mean, yeah, obviously it did hurt. And another thing that's going to hurt this year is we made a commitment to all the shows that paid their show fee in 2020. If they have a show if their show got canceled in 2020, they don't have to pay in 2021. So that's going to really hurt our 2021 revenue as well, income, you know. So, but you can talk a little bit more about that, Abby.
Sure. You know, as you can imagine, with our memberships being due at the end of March, technically, you know, we saw a relatively normal start to our membership here. And then, you know, obviously saw a decline. Everybody that couldn't go to shows, especially in Canada, wasn't able to go to shows. And so they didn't renew their membership. So we definitely saw a decline in membership, not as drastic as I think it could be. But Mark's right, where we're going to have a big change is that a lot of the shows that pay their membership, that's going to be carried over to 2021, and we won't have that revenue for this year. But, you know, the Classic Series board has been really smart throughout the years and has made sure that there's enough money in the bank to endure something like this. And I don't think all organizations can say that that's the case. And so we're in a position where we're still trying to do all the right things and know that we'll get through this too, and keep moving forward, making sure that, you know, the board's spending money in the right places and moving forward. So I think we're good.
The Young Living Pertrons, the equine ambassadors for Young Living Essential Oils, are brought to you from their global headquarters in northern Utah. Whether online or in the hitch, these horses are a powerful representation of the company's commitment to providing essential oils of the highest quality to families across the globe. These world champion Pertrons represent Young Living's founder, Gary Young's continuous pursuit of excellence. You can visit these mighty Pertrons 6 days a week at their home, the iconic Young Living Lavender Farm in Mona, Utah. You can also see them in action as they compete year-round across the United States at fairs and stock shows, including Young Living's annual Falls Festival and Draft Horse Show.
All right, guys. You know, Abby, just to kind of add on to, and maybe, you know, the one thing we have seen why there's been a little bit of a decline, you know, with the shows and kind of with all the cancellations. The good thing is we've seen a bunch of independent shows pop up. The show in Craig, Colorado, I know Enos has put on a couple of shows. We've got the Live Free show following the Grandview Invitational in Georgia. So there has been a little bit of good come out of 2020 and the cancellation of all the other shows.
Well, like you were saying, the Wild West Shootout, we'll have the, and I just saw there's a new one in Illinois. The, what is it? The Boone County Classic, June 3rd and 5th. So that's great. We're having our Midwest Draft Horse Classic at the end of June in Shipshawana there, which is another standalone show. And that is one thing that's interesting about, you know, these cancellations and all these standalone shows. They're actually kind of fun. And you don't have to worry about all the state fair traffic, you know, some of the BS camping and all that. And it's easy to unload. You don't have to worry about the camping. So it'll be interesting going forward to see, you know, when the state fairs and everything do come back, which I think they will. Like, I talked with Ron Mack, and he's not overly confident in the Ohio State Fair happening. They have set the dates and everything. But as far, and they have judges and everything, but as far as 100% confident standpoint, he's not. Justin Carey, he is fairly confident in Indiana, that they will have a state fair. I think it'll look a little different. I don't believe there will be a state fair like on a Monday, Tuesday. I believe like the Percherons will show like Thursday through Sunday, like the Belgians do. Then the following week, the Belgians show. So that's kind of where those two Midwest shows line up. I heard Illinois State Fair is planning. You hear anything from out West, Kyle, or what are you hearing out there?
Yeah, I made a few calls today, just to get a few updates. For starters, I guess the, as far as world shows go, it sounds like the Clyde show in Manitoba is moving forward with their plans. It's early in the year, so they're going to have a bit of an uphill battle, but they're still planning to move forward as planned for right now. The NABC, they set their new dates the first part of September. They're carrying on like it's going to go. Which is really what they have to do, obviously. At this point, they're just going to plan like there's going to be a show and hope for the best. By September, that looks, you know, pretty promising. I talked to Colleen Coleman as far as with the Calgary Stampede. They're going to move forward with the Calgary Stampede this year. It sounds like it's going to be a bit of a modified Stampede. They're going to require masks. They're going to limit crowds potentially, and you're going to have to follow their provincial quarantine guidelines. So it's going to be a little hard maybe to get American hitches to the Calgary Stampede this year, just with the border. If you do get across the border, you have to make commercial entries. And then on top of that, you might have to follow their provincial quarantines. So you'd have to go a week early and quarantine, maybe get a rapid test and then quarantine before you know, or at the Stampede for a week. So that's going to limit maybe some of the American exhibitors, but it sounds like they're a go for the Canadian exhibitors. Deer Lodge, they're going to make a decision in March. That's the Big Sky draft show. And you mentioned earlier, I talked to Enos today, the Clark family from Grand Junction, Colorado. They're had a show last fall. Great facility, great people. They just did a tremendous job hosting the show there last fall. We were lucky enough to be able to go to that show, and they're planning it again. But this year they're going to have it Memorial Day weekend. So that'd be the 29th, the 31st in Grand Junction, Colorado. And then along with that, Ina said there is potential. There's always been a show kind of the week after that in Craig, Colorado. They've never been a classic series show, but they're really energetic to get some, you know, more hitches to their show and grow their show. And they asked Enos what they could do to make that happen. And of course, Enos, he's all about them points. So he's like, make it a point show. So, yeah, no, I mean, and to Enos's credit, what a tremendous job of growing some shows out here in the West.
Absolutely. So will this Wild West show be in the fall, too, or just over Memorial Day weekend?
I believe that this Memorial Day weekend show is going to take place of the show in the fall. I'm pretty sure by the sounds of it, Mona's going to go again. Tim kind of wants to, you know, and the crew there, Young Living, they're going to carry on with their show. And if that's the case, then there'll be the two shows with Mona and Heber City. They won't necessarily need the one in Grand Junction in the fall. So they're going to move that show to a spring show in the future is what it sounds like.
And Kyle, wasn't there was a show kind of out there by you over the 4th of July weekend last year? Do you anticipate that happening again?
Yeah. And that's one of those things that there's some guys from California that bought a couple properties up here, not too far from us. Great guys. And they're getting into some Suffolk punches, which is interesting, but so they're getting kind of keen, and it's one of those things that Wade Thornley kind of helped put that deal on. I helped him a little bit, but it was mostly credit goes to Wade for putting that show on. So we're going to sit down and have a conversation about it, see kind of where it fits in the schedule. He's a big part of helping out with Deer Lodge too. So if we can kind of work it in, where, you know, if somebody wants to come out and show and kind of hit a couple shows at the same time, it's definitely a possibility.
Kyle, I think there was also another Idaho show in the past. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, that was the one that I mentioned, the Snake River draft horse show, it was called. It was at a facility about 30 miles straight east of us here. So we haven't made any decisions for positive on that yet. We were kind of letting the cookies crumble and see what's going to stick and what's not.
And I think that's the way with a lot of these committees too. You know, if the state fairs don't go, you know, there's more people that would step up and put on shows, but all of a sudden, if all the state fairs go, well, then you have, you know, all these shows to run to. And, but like last year around here, you had, you know, Jackson Fork crew step up and Rick and Andrea Welsh at Topeka Livestock Auction. And just, we had a really good summer actually amidst what was going on
out there in Center Hall, Chad.
Center Hall. Yeah.
Chad, the crew stepped
Chad
up.
Chad Rondon. I didn't make it there, but I heard that was a great show as well.
What about Kevin? You were saying
Chad and Rhonda just did a bang up job with that show out there. It was great. I had never been out there before and had the opportunity to get out there. And I mean, they truly stepped up and it was a phenomenal show.
Our sponsor, J.W. Scutt, is North America's leading source for your new custom-built show wagons, used hitch wagons, and practice wagons as well. Located in the rolling hills of West Michigan, we have been an industry leader and family-owned and operated for many decades. Follow us on Facebook at J.W. Scutt Custom Wagons or call the shop at 269-793-0058.
So Kevin, you were saying like some of you guys up there might be looking at like, would you be looking at London or like in smaller fairgrounds up there in Ontario, maybe putting something on or?
What our plan was to try to keep it more localized. Like we have a couple different breed associations local. Like there's the Eastern Regional Perch and Association that I'm a member of. And then there's the Ontario Perch and Horse Association and they're two different bodies, but in the East, there's a lot of Quebec hitches that don't really like to travel too far into Ontario that just come over the border into Ontario to show. So our association, Eastern Regional, we've tabled a discussion here about having one in the spring and one in the fall and kind of incorporating a youth clinic into it, which was our original plan for 2020. Now we did hear this week on Tuesday that Tree Lane Farms is looking to host a show here in October between the Royal and Michigan Great Lakes. So I'd say there's some interest throughout Ontario to put on a couple different venues, but I'm thinking it's as complicated as our province has been for gatherings and stuff. I think it's going to be kind of tough to have it at a very big spectator event. Something like what Kelly had spoke earlier of in Georgia, just advertising, it kind of gets a bit of a fuzzy area. So I think that's the sentiment going forward, is just to be more important to have people that own horses to get them out and exhibit them and enjoy them. You know, I mean, the biggest part of a horse is recreation. And if you don't have that recreational event to take part in, you know, sometimes you start to calculate the cost of owning them too much. So I think that's the route it's looking like in Ontario right now. I know the Royal is got a full steam ahead approach, looking forward to fall, into November. So there's some cautious optimism, but I think the whole industry is a light horse and draft horse, is kind of working towards some kind of a normalcy as long as we don't get back lapsed into a more of a COVID situation, I guess. So yeah, that's about the plan for this part of the country is keep it local, keep it small, maybe not have some big crowds, but at least give us a chance to enjoy some horses. And we looked at, we have one member that's been kind of adamant about going towards a virtual show. He did it last year with some success. There's benefits to marketing wise venue of it. People getting exposure to horses they'd never would have generally gotten a chance to see. So there's been some more discussions of that. And even just getting more technical with how we broadcast a show. Maybe we don't have live spectators, but we get a social media presence and do a live Facebook feed for other people to see. So we've had that discussion. I think that's moving in the right direction. But ultimately, I think it's too early to say, yeah, for sure going ahead. but that's the way we're moving towards.
And I think down here too, all along, is finding private owned facilities or venues to where you can have these shows. It's been easier, kind of easier to do if you have those private facilities. But
yeah, that's a one benefit, you know. I mean, we've in Ontario, and especially in the Southwest, there is some of that. Around the East, it's more public events, you know, fair boards and stuff. But it's definitely nice to see some of these venues come together. And I agree with Mark's point, you know, moving forward, you know, maybe we do like the light horse community and the barrel racers and put on our own private shows and not have them tied to a state fair. Maybe that's our direction out of this, you know? So I think there's, with new challenges comes new opportunities.
Yeah, but definitely believe there's some good things that's going to come out of all this after it's all said and done, for sure.
I feel like Ian Rappaport with my NFL Network insider here, but I just sent a message and I misunderstood Abby before, but she was asking about the Coeur d'Alene show, 2 years ago. I believe it was their first year being a Classic Series event, and it sounds like they're going to be a go again this year. And that might be a real option for some of the American exhibitors that can't get to Calgary. It kind of fell on the same dates in the past. So you might be able to hit kind of the Big Sky Draft Horse Show and Coeur d'Alene in the same trip. If some of you Eastern guys want to come out West for once, instead of us having to go.
I was
going to
say, what do you, if all these shows are a go out West, what you
heck
won't know,
yeah,
you know,
man.
You won't know what to do with yourself if you don't have to drive 3 days.
Yeah, exactly.
All this time to kill. Jeez. Well, and you'll probably start going to some barrel racings here after a while, aren't you?
He does have a kid on the way too here.
It's definitely heading that way.
Yeah, I've seen that. You might be in trouble there.
Yeah. I need to get on the phone with Josh and get some coaching from him on how to handle that situation.
Those, rodeo those girls dad. Got that Christmas present. They're going to be out chasing cans.
Yeah, right? It's not looking good. That poor old horse, I bought him dirt cheap. I'm a cheap bastard.
Well, what a dad.
I mean, she runs that poor old bugger. I had to finally give him a week off and say, you can't ride him for a week. He's going to get so lame on you, you won't fail to run him.
Do you know what you're having, Kyle?
Yeah, I'm a great Philly producer.
Oh. Wow, you're going to have your hands full.
And I got the appointment booked to be gelded here soon. So this is it.
Just think of all those weddings you're going to get to pay for.
Yeah.
Three yes. Fillies. Wow.
You bet. Yeah, we're shutting that deal down. we get the third healthy one here, hopefully, first part of April. And yeah, we're going to shut that deal down. But no, we're very blessed.
Yeah, very good.
Congratulations. Well, congratulations.
We would like to thank Shipshewana Harness and Supply in Shipshewana, Indiana. Mr. Bob Schrock, if you're looking for products for the show ring or at the farm from A to Z, anything you need, horse nutrition, tack, you name it, make sure you check them out, ShipshewanaHarness.com, follow them on Facebook, or visit their shop in beautiful Shipshewana Amish country Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. till 4 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. till 12 noon. Call Mr. Bob Schrock, 260-768-7254 for all your draft horse needs.
We've had some requests on what are you guys thinking? Good, bad, indifferent? Let's just be curious to hear some thoughts. Kyle, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I obviously think it's got pros and cons. I honestly think that it's really setting up where we could have almost our own virtual series type of thing. I don't know necessarily if, in my opinion, that we want to be awarding points for virtual shows necessarily, but I definitely think it could open up some avenues. That's for sure.
I definitely think it could be done. You just have to go about it completely different, you know, like as far as the judging and points. But I think there's definitely something.
Yeah, it would be, I agree with Kyle a little bit. It would be interesting to see what would happen, like if you'd have a different point system.
Different
maybe,
guidelines.
You know, for virtual shows, because they were doing virtual barrel shows all last year. And
But I feel like a timed event is different from a judge. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But you, yeah, definitely could for sure.
Yep. Is that something that people are talking about more up there in, on, like in Canada there?
Yeah. It's
Western or Eastern Canada?
With, or? Call with Mario Nadeau last week, actually. He runs a show. It's actually a classic series show now, Festival de la Garage in Labose, Quebec, which is way, 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 way east. And they do not speak a lot of English up there. But they have great poutine and they've got a lot of horses. So he was looking at a venue just to try to some way that he can include more people that obviously aren't going to make the trek out to his show, and how that would kind of interact with potentially being a point show. So there's been more, I think more positivity out of the east of it, just because they got a chance finally to see some of these hitches that compete at the finals, that compete across North America, that they'd never really have access to watching a video or having them participate. So there's been some more talk about it. He had asked if we could include him into the actual shows, and we had discussed that on the board and thought that this year would maybe we just sit back and we'd support him as best we can, but to make it a point show would be kind of a tough challenge, where we are at in this year. But there's been a lot of local guys has expressed interest into it. I had a conversation with an older gentleman last week. He was in the office, he was selling some grain, and he had talked to us about how he's 74 years old. He enjoyed the draft horse show circuit, talking to people, sitting on a tack stall, and how he missed that. But he said he was able to go back on Saturday afternoon when it was quiet and his grandkids were gone, and he could sit in the Lazy Boy and turn into Mario's show and watch the hitches go around. And, he was able to see Enos for the first time. He was able to see Kirk Messenger's bunch with Brian driving them. Outfits that he'd never even laid eyes on before, so I think it actually got him kind of more interested in the series, so there's been some of those conversations, but I think we're just hoping that we can finally get back to loading them up and taking them to a show and seeing your friends and colleagues and neighbors and just enjoying a draft horse again.
Absolutely. And I think at the end of the day, that's what everybody misses, is the getting together and the good times that we took for granted while we had it, Switching gears a little bit here. Kevin, you're on the youth committee. How does the youth, the fundraising and the scholarships, is there any new updates on that at all? Or
yeah, we got through our first meeting here was on the 7th of January. We had a very productive meeting. We talked about our plans going forward and how actually we're going to try to get you guys on the podcast to help us attract some more scholarship applications.
Absolutely.
From some of the youth. I was very fortunate. Kyle and Abby and Laura and the committee had done a great job of fundraising. So we got some money in the bank. We've decided, actually, I signed the papers today and sent them back to Abby. We've applied for a raffle license to go towards our fundraising efforts for this year. In 2021. So we'll get all that behind us and get the paperwork done. And we're looking towards doing a reverse raffle held in conjunction with the finals. And our goal for our committee was just to get the word out there to some people that are going to post-secondary education to send us a scholarship. We want to hear your story. There's a lot of young people in the draft horse industry and maybe they're not aware of this, the money that's out there and available to them. But I think that's the whole focus of this committee, is to try to get some more applications. We had, I think it was 7 Abby applications last year. I think we're par for the course. We had 5 actually, sorry. Par for the course, the Belgian Corp, we got some insight onto their application list. And they're in that 6 to 7 range. So, for the first year out of the gate, I think it was good. And we're hoping that we can get some more scholarships in so we can get rid of this money, give it to these people, and they can go on to do bigger and brighter things for our community. And it's looking like this year we're going to have a lot of participation into it. We're looking for some active bidding and active enjoyment of our reverse raffle. We're hoping it's going to be quite a source of entertainment. at the finals. And we're always looking for committee members. If people are out there and want to get involved and help us and join, or they want to host events at other shows and maybe put the proceeds towards this scholarship fund, get in touch with Abby or myself or Tracy Brockoff, Scott Seymour, Carl Addy, and just shoot us a line. Victoria McCullough is another person on the committee. Just give us, drop us a line. We'd love to talk to you and try to set something up.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like, if there's anything we can do here at the podcast or at the Redrive, let us know and we'll be glad to help. That first year I thought was tremendous.
Yeah, it's a great, great thing we got going. Like last year, like at our show in Shipshawana, like we had a beanbag tournament. It was $50 a team to enter. We had, 22 teams, I believe, ended up raising $1,100 for it. So any show out there that can do any little bit to help this out. And once again, this is, if I understand right, this is also like to go to dentistry school, shoeing school, anything equine related, right? Not just like to a four-year college. Is that right?
Yep. Anything you want to enrich yourself with.
Yeah. Just to pile on too. I honestly, my daughter is, my oldest daughter is 6. She's going to be 7. And I mean, she is fired up. She drove at a couple, 3 shows already. And just to see her name in the point standings, I mean, she's so excited. I have to check the point standings. I'm like, honey, there hasn't been any shows. Don't worry about it. But I mean, I just to get all the youth involved, I mean, the scholarships are definitely a huge part of it. That's a great part of it. But everybody that's been a part of it at any time in their youth career is going to be eligible for scholarship money as they graduate. And every show that has youth CART classes, that's a classic series show, it's a free membership for the youth. It's a free membership for the show to be a part of that class. Hook a youth CART and let the kids be a part of it. I mean, it's just, to me, the youth is the future, and it is just a great program for sure.
Sure. A kind of comment that goes along with Kyle's is that it's important for people to know that they, even if you have students that don't go to a lot of shows, they can't make it all the way across the country and find themselves in the top of the point standings. It's just about the participation. And when we're looking for those scholarship applications, it's just that they participated somewhere along the way. So it's a great opportunity, even if there's students that are only able to go to 1 or 2 shows a summer, they can be part of it as well. So,
yeah, they've got an equal opportunity at the money just as somebody that won the finals. You know, it's not about the point standings for the where we give the money out.
We would like to thank Topeka Livestock Auction, the Topeka Draft Horse Sale. If you're looking to buy or sell high quality hitch horses, pulling horses, farm teams, parade horses, you name it, make sure you check out the Topeka Draft Horse Sale. They sold over 2,000 draft horses in 2020. Rick and Andrea Welsh are the owners. Great people to deal with. Make sure you follow them on Facebook, Topeka Livestock Auction, or their website, topekalivestock.com. The first sale is going to be a spring sale, March 15th through the 19th. Seymour sale, June 3rd through the 5th. And their fall sale is going to be October 25th through the 29th. If you have horses to sell, make sure you get them in the catalog. The spring sale deadline is February 1st. Topeka Draft Horse Auction is where the action is. And talk about point standings. Do you have an update on the point standings, Mark, at all, or anybody?
I do. With limited amount of shows, I'm just looking at the Clydesdale Shire point standings. High Point is leading right now with 21. Unhitch Ranch is 9. Bennett Family Clydes is 6. South Creek Clydesdale is 5. And Glenview, they have 2 points. With the Percherons, once again, some limited shows, but Jackson Fork leads that with 70. Young Living with 66. Yoder Family Hay and Express are tied with 63. You have Blue Ribbon with 56. Ames 51. Zubrod 45. Those are your top 7. Clark Family Orchards is in 8th with 30. HD's got 25. So that kind of rounds up the top of the Percherons. The Belgians right now, Double S is leading with 50. Burger Barn, Kingpin Farms has got 46. So does ANC. Brockwood Belgians and Meadow Lake Belgians have 32 apiece. Then M&R has 31, Triple Star 30, Lorab 26. Those are kind of the top right now.
So what you're trying to say, Mark, is after the first lap at the first Florida six, you've got my ass kicked, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
And like you said, that was very limited amount of shows. But, you know, going into Florida, I believe there's 23 or 24 sixes in Florida. And also your show, Kelly, there's 23 or 24
there in
Georgia. And, you know, things are going to take off real quick. I mean, it's a lot of sixes. So you got two shows. No pressure, Kyle. Don't get nervous. But
well, you have all those shows out west to go to.
That's exactly why we're getting these within
4 hours
from
his house.
West great again. We only have to drive 12 hours to a show instead of 40.
You know what the cool part about that list you just read off, Mark, is like the hitches that are new to the industry in the last 5 years that are on that list that are up competing for parts. That's a point, excuse me. It's pretty impressive to see the diversity in that, you know. There's a lot of good hitches out there and, I hadn't looked at the point standing for quite a while, but that is something that's our strength, I guess. It's pretty cool to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really think the industry is in a great spot. I mean, I know we battled COVID and there's a lot going on, but you watch the sale prices, just the energy around the industry. I think we're in a great spot.
Yeah, Smokester was a team of Belgian workhorses sold last week in Tennessee. We were at the auction. They bring 12 or 10 grand a piece, two times the money for just a parade team.
Yeah, the horse market is just, it's crazy. Yeah.
They must have got that stimulus check or something.
Yeah. Kevin, did you say you were in Tennessee at an auction?
Yeah, my dad.
You might not want to release that. They might quarantine you for 2 weeks.
we're on business.
Maria had the dog collar on him.
Yeah, we're out for a stroll. You know, we took a bunch of horses down and just took in a couple auctions.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
No, but I'm sure that you know the Pertram points. Going back to the points a little bit, the Pertram points have been very close here in the past few years, but I think we were talking about this earlier that I believe the Belgians are going to be really competitive this year. So that'll be exciting to watch coming up. But we got some new Pertram hitches that are really going to push. You got
some Clyde hitches that I think are going to start pushing a little bit, and this is good.
Yep.
Yeah, hopefully the Clyde World Show, Belgian World Show goes this year. That always provides extra energy into a breed.
Absolutely. Well, I believe, I think we're going to wind this thing down. Once again, we do want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. Make sure you drop by our mailbag at podcast@naclassicseries.com. We want to hear from you, good or bad, all the feedback. We want to hear it. If you have any ideas for us, let us know. Once again, podcast@naclassicseries.com. We do want to thank Abby. And I do want to say Abby's just the greatest person ever. She has to put up with a lot with us guys and trying to communicate with emails and text messages.
Oh, sure.
Thank you so much, Abby. For everything you do.
She is the best.
She's the linchpin of the Classic Series. Cool. I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you.
So thanks for being with us, Abby. Thank you, Kevin, Kyle, Kelly, Mark, for being here in person. And so make sure you check us out down the road. We'll be releasing podcasts, every 2 weeks, I believe?
Second and fourth Wednesday.
Second and fourth Wednesday of every month. So once again, drop by our mailbag. We love you. Drive safe. We'll see you in Florida.
Give us 5-star reviews.
Absolutely.